بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the blessed month of Ramadan, which is near, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every hukum that He has revealed to us, and in every commandment that He has ordained upon us, and in every action and deed that He has made necessary for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wisdoms in that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has secrets in that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has benefits in those actions for us. Many a time, we are at the workplace, we are at our with the other employees, or with our employer, or at school, or out in public. And when the month of Ramadan comes, people ask us that, what is the purpose of Ramadan? Why do you people fast? What is the reason behind this fasting? How difficult is it for you to not eat and drink? So these are the various questions that are asked. And at times, sometimes it becomes a challenge for our own faith. And I'm saying many times, I have said this, that it is a great blessing for us as Muslims to be in this country. It is a blessing for Muslims to live in a non-Muslim land. One of the blessings is that you are always questioned about your faith. One of the blessings is that you have to stay on top of your faith. Why? Because if you are not on top of your deen, and if you don't understand deen properly, when you are asked, it makes you look like an ignorant person. It makes you look like someone, you know, that then why are you a Muslim if you don't even know? Somebody, and the best, sometimes the best that we can do, when someone asks us that this is the month of Ramadan, why are you fasting? Somebody says, this is our holy month. Allah has commanded us. This is our holy month. So it's your holy month. What's the reason though? What's the wisdom behind this? What is the purpose behind staying hungry and thirsty? And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. That the one who does not leave evil speech, and the one who does not refrain from vain talk, and acting upon that vain and useless speech, then Allah is in no need of his hunger and thirst. This hadith is clear in this, that Allah does not need our hunger and thirst. From this hadith we understand that the purpose of Ramadan is not staying hungry and thirsty. The purpose of Ramadan is not starvation. The purpose of Ramadan is not abandoning food and drink. Otherwise the Prophet would not have said this. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ. Allah ke liye koi hajat nahi hai. Min ayyada'a ta'amahu wa sharabahu, ke wo apne khana peena chhod de. Clearly. To Allah ke, so what is the hajat? What is the hajat? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah Ta'ala, in this blessed Quran and in our noble Quran, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the reason. And why it is very important for us, brothers and sisters, to know the reason behind this fasting, is so that we are on the same page with Allah Ta'ala. You must be on the same page, and you must be on the same objective and the same perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you're not, Allah is demanding one thing and you are trying to gain something else. Allah is demanding one thing from us, but we are going in another direction. We should see that we should be on the same page, on the same objective that Allah Ta'ala has meant us to be on. What is that objective then? Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Pak, He mentions, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyamu, this fasting has been ordained, this fasting has been decreed for you, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, just that it was ordained for the people before you. Why? La'allakum tattaqoon, so that you may gain the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. This is the reason. This is the hikmah. This is the wisdom. This is the objective of fasting. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And brothers and sisters, the thing that I've done in many past Ramadan, I make everybody say this word. And why I make everybody say this word is that throughout the Ramadan, sometimes we tend to forget. Every day you should mention this to yourself. At Sahri time, during the day, and at the time of iftar, you should tell, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Everybody say it. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. شَايَدْ تُمْ تَقْوَى حَاسِلْ كَرِي. شَايَدْ تُمْ تَقْوَى حَاسِلْ كَرِي. Perhaps you might attain taqwa. Perhaps you might attain the consciousness of Allah. What is taqwa? Consciousness of Allah. Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh, very great buzurg. He writes in the Mathnawi, what is taqwa? He says, Chishim bandu, gosh bandu, lab band, garnabini, nur haq barman bikhand. Chishim bandu, gosh bandu, lab band, garnabini, nur haq barman bikhand. He says, close your eyes from evil, and close your ears from evil, and close your tongue from evil. Then if you do not see the nur of Allah in your heart, then laugh at me. To mujhpar hasu. Aankho band karo, khiyanat se. Kaan ko band karo, ghibat sunne se. Aur zuban ko band karo, jhoot aur ghibat bolne se. To agar Allah ki nur dil mein na dekhe, to mujhpar hasu. Yani, if you don't see the nur of Allah in your heart, then laugh at me. Why? Because definitely Allah Ta'ala's nur and definitely the nur of taqwa will enter your heart. These are the three gateways of the heart. The eye, the ear, and the heart. And the tongue, I'm sorry. The eye, the ear, and the tongue. These are the three gateways of the heart. If you close these gateways, then the ibadat that we make, the nur will be generated in the heart, it will be accumulated, it will be preserved, it will be protected. But if we leave these windows open, if we leave this window open, the window of the ears, listening to ghibat, the window of the eyes, looking at that which is not permissible to look at, looking at any shameless woman who is walking by, look at any ghair mahram woman that is walking by, we're leaving this window open, the nur of taqwa will be seeping out. The nur will be coming out. If we leave the window of the mouth open through speaking ghibat, speaking lies, fuzul, bate, useless, vain talk, if we leave this open, then the nur which is being accumulated of ibadat in our hearts, it will be coming out. And a beautiful example, our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Abrar Al-Haqsab, rahmatullah alayh, Hardoi, he mentioned, when you were in Jeddah, they were going to Haram Sharif. So they were feeling very hot. And you can imagine the heat of Saudi. They were feeling very hot. He said, bhai, bro, AC ko chalu kar do. Turn on the AC. Why is the AC not on? Turn on the AC. He said, Hazrat, the AC is on. He said, why is it feeling hot? Oh, they noticed that one window was open. They noticed that the window was open. He said, oh, close the window. When they close the window, all of a sudden they feel the AC. They feel the coolness of the AC. So Hazrat Mawlana Abrar Al-Haqsab, subhanAllah, look at the Buzurgan Deen, that from every incident, they take ibrat, and they have a lesson of deen, and they take ibrat of taqwa from this. He said, this is exactly what happens to us. From the inside, the AC of zikr, the AC of ibadat, the AC of roza, the AC of tilawat al-Quran, the AC of tahajjud is always on. The coolness is coming inside, in the heart. The nur is coming inside the heart. But what happens? The window is open. The window of the eyes, bad nazri. And that window of the ears is open, listening to ghibat, listening to gana and sunnah, listening to music. The window of the tongue is open, doing ghibat, backbiting. So what happens? All the nur, all of the AC is on from inside. The tilawat is on. The roza is on. The tahajjud is on. But what is happening? All of the ibadat and all of the barakat and all of the nur is seeping out and leaving. All of the barakat is lost. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. We must remind ourselves every day at suhoor time. Why am I fasting? What does Allah want from me? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. perhaps you might gain the consciousness of Allah. During the day, every day, remind yourself, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Perhaps you might gain taqwa. And at the time of iftar, you should remind yourself, how did I do today? Make muhasabah of yourself. Take hisab of yourself. How did I do this day? Did I attain what Allah wants me to attain? Did I achieve what Allah wants me to achieve? Did I accomplish the goal that Allah wanted me to accomplish? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Actually, why is it that a person attains taqwa? How is it? Hazrat Maulana Abrar Ahmad Saab, Shaykh al-Hadith of Tarkeshwar, very great Shaykh al-Hadith. He is a teacher of Bukhari for over 30 years in Tarkeshwar, Gujarat, very big madrasa, Falah Darain. He mentioned that if the whole ummah, Muslim and non-Muslim, if they implement the month of Ramadan, if the people of the world fast the month of Ramadan, it becomes the cause of bringing peace and harmony in the entire world. Fasting the month of Ramadan is the solution to all the problems of the world. Look at this claim. Bahut bada dawa kiya unhone. Very big claim. He's saying that if we fast the month of Ramadan, if the whole world fasts the month of Ramadan, he said there will be no stealing, there will be no killing, there will be no fasad, there will be no corruption in the entire world. This is the claim that he made. So he said that somebody might say, Moli sahab, what is your dalil for this? It's a big claim you're making. He said, actually, this claim is because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah has said in the Quran, perhaps you might attain consciousness of Allah. So then he said, I give you an example. In the month of Ramadan, what is the maqsad? We stay away from food and drink. We know that we can eat. The food is in the refrigerator. But we know that Allah Ta'ala is watching me. You know that your wife is not there, or your mother is not there, or your sister is not there, or your father is not looking at you. Nobody is there. And the cold, fresh water is inside of the fridge. And you could go at any time and nobody's going to hold you back. Nobody's there. Or you can go inside the bathroom. Just turn on the water, take a drink from the faucet. Nobody's watching you in the bathroom. Nobody's there at home. Or you can go somewhere and hide and take a have some food or have some drink and nobody would see you. What is the reason you don't do that? Nobody's there watching you. Nobody's there watching you. Nobody's going to see you if you take a drink, and nobody's going to see you if you eat something. What is the thing which is holding you back? The one thing that is holding you back is you know that Allah Ta'ala is watching you. Just a request has been made for brother Rana Jamshed. He's undergoing surgery. We make dua that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes his surgery a success. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala makes this surgery go through without any difficulties, without any complications. And we ask Allah Ta'ala that after this surgery, Allah Ta'ala gives him shifa'i kamil, ajil, mustamir, and sihati ajila, kamila, mustamirra. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, we mentioned that Hazrat Abrar Ahmad Sahib was saying that if a person truly understands the wisdom behind the month of Ramadan, then this would be a cause for removing corruption and all fasad and all fitna and all guna from the face of the earth. And he said, why is that? It's because when a person, he knows that nobody is watching me. The cold water is in the fridge. Nobody is watching him. But he does not go to drink that water. Why? Because he knows Allah is watching me. This is the thing which is developed in the month of Ramadan. جو کرتا ہے تو چپ کے اہل جہاں سے میرے حضرت کا شعر ہے یہ جو کرتا ہے تو چپ کے اہل جہاں سے کوئی دیکھتا ہے تجھے آسمان سے جو کرتا ہے تو چپ کے اہل جہاں سے کوئی دیکھتا ہے تجھے آسمان سے that thing that you are doing hidden from the entire world, then know that someone from the above is watching you. This is the thing that Ramadan, and this is the thing that this blessed fasting of the month of Ramadan is developing inside of you. This consciousness of Allah. And he said, this is that one sifat This is that one quality. That if it is engendered inside the heart of a person, then what happens? This will be a cause of uprooting all of the corruption of the world. If a person has taqwa, is he going to do zulm to his wife? If a person has taqwa, is he going to commit any theft? If a person has taqwa and consciousness that Allah is watching me, is a person going to commit murder? Is a person going to steal one penny if he knows that Allah is watching me? Why does a person commit guna? What is the reason? Why does a person get the jurat? Why does a person get the audacity to commit sin? Is the moment he forgets and he becomes unconscious of Allah Ta'ala. That moment that we become unconscious of Allah Ta'ala, that moment that we become forgetful of Allah Ta'ala, that is the moment which we commit guna. And this is what the month of Ramadan develops inside of us, a continuous remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. The roza in your stomach, pet me roza, that is continuously reminding you of your duty to Allah Ta'ala. Now imagine, for 30 days, or for 29 days, every single day, oh, I cannot touch this halal. Imagine. You are abstaining from what? Not haram. You are abstaining from halal. Halal water, halal food, halal wife or husband. Halal water, halal food, and halal spouse. You are staying away for 30 days from the halal. So when 30 days you train the nafs to stay away from the halal, after 30 days it becomes easy to stay away from the haram. Automatically the haram is going to go away from you. This is that. And this is why it becomes a source of all the peace and harmony in the entire world. That for 30 days you're practicing to stay away from water. 30 days you're practicing to stay away from your spouse. 30 days, so if you're staying away from your own spouse, is it not going to be easy for you to stay away from someone else's spouse? When you're staying away from haram, is it not going to be easy for you to stay away if you're staying away from halal, will it not be easy for you to stay away from haram? This is the objective. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. May Allah give us this understanding, that if we get this true understanding, then really, we have attained the objective of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, this is why I have made this fasting ordained upon you. No other reason. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a clear hadith, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ مِنْ أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. From this we understand the hadith, that the one who does not leave evil speech, and the one who does not leave acting upon that evil speech, then Allah is in no need of his hunger and thirst. We understand that Allah does not want us to hunger. Allah does not want us to thirst. Allah does not want us, it has nothing to do with food and drink. But food and drink become a means of that consciousness. Also, Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, many have heard of him, very great buzurg, very great alim who has passed away. In Ihya Ulumuddin, he mentions that in the fasting, there are three categories of people. Teen maratib. Three categories of people. Three levels of fasting people. One is the fasting of the general people. One is the fasting of the special people. One is Sawmul Awam. Awam ke roza. Awam. Just regular people. One is Sawmul Khawas. Khawas. Fasting of the special people. And the third category in Martaba is Sawmu Akhassil Khawas. The Sawm of the very specially elite people. Now everybody that's here, when we want a house, what type of house do you want? Just mamuli type of house? No, we want the best house. When a person wants to get married, what does he want? Just mamuli type of wife? No, he wants very special, beautiful. All the young people are sitting here. He said, there's one, give you a choice. You have three choices here. Some of the young people that are not married. So, you give them a choice that there's three girls for you to choose. One is very mamuli type of, you know, she's, you know, not so great. Half deaf from one ear and a little bit blind from one ear. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Right? And she's okay, she's not that bad. But her inside is very good. Dil paak hai. And then the second one, she's okay, she's not that bad. But the third one is very, very, number one, first class. Everyone that is here, we know that will choose the one that is first class. For a car, for house, for spouse, for everything of the dunya, we want number one. It's very special. But why is it that for our deen, we choose that which is less quality? For Allah Ta'ala, we choose less quality, but for ourselves, we want the best quality. Isn't this zulm? This is a type of zulm. This is a type of oppression. Biqadri. Na shukri. This is not valuing Allah Ta'ala. This is not being thankful of Allah Ta'ala. That for ourselves, we are selfish. And we want the best. We want the most special. But for Allah Ta'ala, we'll do with the least. So everybody that's here now, which fasting do we want that our fast should be? Sawmi akhas al khawas. InshaAllah Ta'ala. We want that our fasting should not be the sawm of the lower quality. We want our fasting to be the highest martaba. The fasting of the akhas al khawas. So, Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi explains, he said that the first category, Sawmul Awam, is the fasting of the general people. And that is, and he said, usually people are of this level. He said they fast and all they do is they don't eat and they don't drink. Everything else, ghibat bhi jari hai, jhoot bhi jari hai, bad nazri bhi jari, sab, all happening. Evil glances are also continuing. Backbiting is also continuing. Cheating and lying and deception is also continuing. All the sins are continuing. No difference other than the other days, except that you're hungry and thirsty during the day. The month of Ramadan is no difference than all the other months of the year. Except in the month of Ramadan, your stomach is hurting all day. Kya fayda? What's the benefit of this? Technically, this person is fasting. But spiritually, this person is getting no benefit. Spiritually, this person is getting no benefit. My grandmother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give her barakat in her life. And Allah ta'ala give her, she's a very pious woman, tahajjud guzar woman. Very, very pious. And I, myself, always benefit from her company. She always says this, that sometimes when we are talking fuzul, and we're talking useless speech during Ramadan, she said, Chi fayda az roza giriftanata? Yag dana gawa bastako roza girift? She says in Dari, in Farsi, dana gawa bastako? Dana gawa basta? You just wrap the mouth of a cow the whole day, or wrap the mouth of a donkey, and it's also fasting the entire day. What's the fasting of you or fasting of a donkey? Fasting of you or fasting of a cow, no difference. Just tie the mouth from morning to evening. He's also fasting. Bada Allah wala ban gaya. MashaAllah. The cow, you tie the mouth from morning to evening. He's not becoming great Allah wala. He's not attaining taqwa. So he says, subhanAllah, her advice, always, whenever we're talking fuzul things, or making ghibat, or talking here and there, she says, dana gawan bastaku roza girif. Close the mouth of a cow, or close the mouth of a donkey, tie it with a rope for the entire day, lock it inside of the barn, and it's also fasting. What's the benefit of that fasting? What's the difference between your fasting and the fasting of a cow? Inna lillahi wa inna. May Allah Ta'ala not make our fasting like that. We should remind ourselves that this day that I fasted this day, at the time of iftar, one should remind oneself that was my fasting the fasting of a cow? Or the fasting of a person of Allah, a man of Allah, the one what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands from us. So this is that sawmul awam. This is technically his fasting is done, but spiritually this person's fast has not gained him anything, and there is no difference between his fasting and the fasting of some cow. Second type of fasting is sawmul khawas, and this is what we should be, inshallah. Everybody, every Muslim and every believer should attain this, because this is Allah Ta'ala's maqsad. This is Allah Ta'ala's objective when He says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And the fasting, صَوْمُ الْخَوَاسِ, He says, الصَّوْمُ عَنِ الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ وَالْجِمَاعِ وَالْمَعَاصِي كُلِّهَا. Fasting from food and drink and relations with the spouse and all sins. Fasting from all sins. As we mentioned, very simple. What are the sins? Chishim bandu, gosh bandu, lab band, gar nabini, nuri haq barman bikhand. Rumi rahmatullahi mentioned, just remind ourselves. Chishim bandu, gosh bandu, lab band. That we close our eyes from seeing evil. We close our ears from listening to evil. And we close our tongue from speaking evil. Then the nur of taqwa will enter our hearts. This is that fasting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demanded of us. This is Sawm al-Khawas. May Allah give us this. This is what every Muslim should attain. This is what every Muslim should attain. Because it mentions, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may attain taqwa. Now what is the third and highest martaba? The third and highest daraja of fasting, صوم أخص الخواص. And that is that within their hearts, they try to occupy, internally also, they try to occupy their thoughts, they try to occupy even their thoughts with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is something, obviously, that has to be practiced through many, many years. And through a lot of, and this is why yesterday when we were reading the fasting and the Ramadan of the elders, the Ramadan of Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, and the Ramadan of Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi, the Ramadan of Maulana Shaykh Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, we realized why was it that they were continuously making extra ibadat in the month of Ramadan. Why? It's so that they can get the Ramadan and they can get the fasting of Akhassul Khawas. Is that not only are you fasting from food and drink, and not only are you fasting from sins, but you are also fasting from those everyday things that we are involved in. This month of Ramadan should be a little bit different than the other months. And the sunnah of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches us this, that in the last 10 days of the blessed month of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would seclude himself. وَكَانَ يَشُدُّ الْمِئْزَرِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He would tie his lungi very tightly, yani he would make extra exertion in ibadat in this month, and he would completely abstain from everything. Obviously, the month of Ramadan doesn't mean that we should not work. It doesn't mean that we should leave school. But a certain amount of time, as much as possible, we should try to the best of our ability, try to devote some time for completely engrossing ourselves to the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And this is when we will attain sawm akhass al-khawas, the fasting of the especially elite. And if we cannot do this throughout the entire month of Ramadan, we should at least try to do it in the last 10 days of i'tikaf. And if we cannot do it the last 10 days of i'tikaf, we should try to at least do it in the odd nights. And if we cannot even do it on the odd nights, we should at least try to do it on our weekends. Friday night, Saturday night, those nights that we have off from school, those nights that we have off from work, we should say that this night I'm going to focus on ibadat and do nothing else but just completely devote myself to the house of Allah, to the recitation of Quran, to zikr and ibadat, and take this time to reflect over my entire year. What did I do? In this busy time and in this day and age, we don't even have time to think and reflect over our lives. What did Allah create me for? What did Allah Ta'ala give me life for? What is the objective of my life? The entire year, the entire life passes, but this one blessed month of Ramadan Allah has given us, so that we use this opportunity and avail this opportunity so that we can ponder over what is our objective, what is our purpose, how have we gotten closer or how have we gotten further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is some of the things. And regarding, this is the main objective that I have mentioned here. There's many, many maqasid. One maqsad of fasting is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is the main objective. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And hopefully, inshallah, we've drived that point home. How we're supposed to do it and what is supposed to be attained. That the purpose of this month is guarding of the eyes and guarding of the ears and guarding of the tongue and guarding of the self from sins. And this is the, inshallah, high quality fast. May Allah Ta'ala grant us that. Also, just to continue, in this book, some of the maqasid of fasting, other maqasid, other purposes of fasting have been compiled, and I just wanted to read them through. One of the great scholars of Islam, great Shafi'i scholar, Izzuddin ibn Abdus Salam, who was called Sultanul Ulama, the Sultan, the King of all the Ulama. He's written a booklet, and the name of the booklet is Maqasid al-Sawm, the objectives of fasting. And why this is important for us to know the objectives of fasting, so that when we are fasting, we are looking for these objectives within ourselves. Am I attaining this? The purpose for which Allah has made this. Am I attaining it? When a person gets a job at a place, what is the first thing they tell you? Job description. What are you supposed to be doing? You're working for a job and you don't even know what you're supposed to be doing. What's the benefit of that job? You're not going to get paid. You're going to get fired if you don't know what your job description. So very important for us to know is, what is our job description in the month of Ramadan? What does Allah want from you? This is your job. He's going to pay you in the end. Which His rida mandi and His pleasure and His happiness with us, this is the greatest of all the ajr that we can get. But every person, every job, he has to know, what is his description? These are the descriptions of something. Main description of the month of Ramadan and fasting of Ramadan is what? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Everybody should memorize this now. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Remind yourself throughout the month of Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. At the time of suhoor, while you're fasting, any time that your eye wants to go in a direction that it's not supposed to go, any time your tongue wants to say something that it's not supposed to say, any time your ear wants to listen to something you're not supposed to listen, remind yourself, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. You're not attaining Allah. You're not doing your job. You're not doing your job. Quickly bring yourself back. So, for us to know our job description, this is the main job description of fasting. This is the main hadaf, the main maqsad, the main objective is to attain taqwa, consciousness of Allah. He continues, and he says, فَالصَّوْمُ يُضَيِّقُ مَجَارِ الطَّعَامِ وَالدَّمِ وَهِيَ مَجَارِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَتَقِلُّ وَسْوَسَتُهُ. He said, what happens is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, that إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَجْرِي فِي الْإِنسَانِ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ. Shaitan flows through our veins, like the flowing of blood. And what happens is, when a person is hungry, the veins, they become tightened. So now, shaitan doesn't easily flow inside of your veins. He doesn't flow inside of your body as is normally supposed to flow. Remember, we have some external medicine. We have something which is physics, outward physical realities. And then there's metaphysics, inward spiritual realities. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith, he is telling us some of the inward spiritual reality of shaitan. How does shaitan work? Why certain people shaitan has power over them? Why certain people shaitan doesn't have so much power over them? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us one secret. He said, look, shaitan flows through your body just like the blood flows through your veins. But let me tell you something which makes it very difficult for him to flow. He said that is when you become hungry. Hunger and thirst, it makes يُضَيِّقُ مَجَارِ الشَّيْطَانِ. It tightens the flow of shaitan through your veins. Just like we know that the doctors tell us that when you have clogged arteries, then this obstructs the flow of blood to the heart. When you have clogged arteries and fat that builds up inside of the arteries and clogs up the walls of the arteries, then what happens? This causes the blood flow to become obstructed in going into the heart. So our beloved Tabibul Qulub wa Tabibul Arwah, The doctor of the hearts and the doctor of the souls. Tibbul qulubi wa abdaniha. He had the medicine of the heart and of the bodies. He tells us that yudayyiqu, that this shaitan, he flows through our blood just like the flowing of blood. He flows through our veins just like the flowing of blood. But what happens? It gets tightened through fasting. And that is why you notice, you don't feel like, in the month of Ramadan, while you're fasting, or while you're hungry, you don't feel like sometimes even joking. Sometimes it comes over you. You don't feel like joking. You don't feel like making ghibat. You don't feel like, but as soon as we eat full food and the stomach is nice and tight, then what happens? Then gapshap bhi shuru ho jata. The gapshap also begins after that, and the ghibat also begins after that. Exactly. Also, jazakallah khair. The fasting where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the young men, ya ma'shar shabab, you should get married if you can. Oh, young men, you should get married. But if you don't have the capability or financial ability to get married, then you should fast. Because what happens now? Fasting, it tightens the way of shaitan and does not allow shaitan now to flow through your blood and flow through your mind as easily as the other times. So this is one of the benefits. And he continues, and this is also in correlation. يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَةَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ. It is more guarding for the eye. وَأَحْصَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ. And it is more chaste and more protective of the chastity. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءَ. And if a person cannot do so, get married, then he should fast. Because in fasting there is restraint. It will help you to restrain, because now shaitan is not flowing through the blood that easy. And what happens is that when the shaitan is not flowing through the blood so easily, الصَّوْمُ يُضْعِفُ الشَّهْوَةِ وَخَطَرَاتِ السُّوءِ وَوَارِدَاتِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ فَتُشْرِقُ الرُّوحِ. When the evil thoughts is not going through the mind, and when the desires are not so strong, then what happens? The ruh starts shining. The ruh and the soul starts becoming illuminated. Also, from amongst the objectives of sawm is it reminds a person of the suffering of others. والصوم يذكر الصائم بإخوانه الصائمين من الجائعين والمحتاجين والفقراء والمساكين. The fasting reminds you of the hungry, of the destitute, of the masakin, of the fuqara, of the poor people. That if I am hungry like this, then there's people that are hungry like this every day of the year. There's people that are hungry like this all the time. Now this brings type of softness and tenderness in the heart. This brings in a person's heart the, what do we say, hamdardi, the muwasat, the hamdardi, that feeling of compassion, that feeling of brotherhood, and the feeling of concern for other people. Otherwise, if a person has never seen a day of hunger in his life, he says, I don't know what hungry people feel like. Why should I give sadaqah? Why should I give charity? Why should I give zakat? What's the purpose of zakat? Right? This comes in his mind. Why? Because he has not seen a day of difficulty. But the person who has seen hunger, and the person who has suffered, he knows what people feel like when they suffer. So he feels from their heart. Also, وَالصَّوْمُ مَدْرَسَةٌ لِتَرْبِيَةِ النَّفْسِ وَتَزْكِيَةِ الْقَلْبِ وَغَضِّ الْبَصَرِ وَحِفْذِ الْجَوَارِحِ. Fasting is an institution of training of the nafs, as we mentioned previously. That it becomes a time where you can train your nafs. And there is a spiritual reality. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi rahmatullah alayh, he mentions that in this ayat Allah Ta'ala says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting has been ordained upon you in this month of Ramadan so that you may attain the consciousness of Allah. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahab said, he said, Allah is giving us a secret that this month has a special effect. It has a special spiritual effect in training of the nafs. This month, more than any other months. And we feel this reality. After the month of Ramadan is gone, it becomes sometimes difficult for you to stand up in the night. It becomes difficult for you to fast on other days. In the month of Ramadan, it's becoming so easy. Standing 20 rakats becomes easy. But in the other months outside of Ramadan, even praying, waking up for 2 rakats of tahajjud becomes difficult. From this we understand there's a spiritual reality. There's a ruhani kayfiyat that we should avail in this month. So it's tarbiyatun nafs. And also he mentions, وَالصَّوْمُ سِرٌّ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ الْمَعْبُودِ سُبْحَانَهُ. That the fasting, it trains our sincerity. Sincerity, respected brothers and sisters, sincerity is the backbone of our amal. If a person does not have sincerity, then a person can be the greatest mujahid. He can even become shaheed. His shahadat will not be accepted. He can be the greatest sakhi. His sakhawat will not be accepted. He can be the most generous person. His generosity will not be accepted. He can be the greatest alim. He can be the greatest mufti. He can be the greatest qari. But his qiraat and his ilm and his taqwa will not benefit him. And a hadith is narrated by Abu Huraira, and is a sahih hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the first people for whom Jahannam will be lit up, and the first people that will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam will be three people. The shaheed, and the qari, and the sakhi, the generous person. He said, Allah Ta'ala will resurrect them and said, what is my bounty? What bounty did I give you? He said, oh Allah, you gave me life. You gave me strength. He said, what did you do with it? He said, oh Allah, I fought in your path to defend your deen. And I died a martyr for your sake. So Allah Ta'ala will tell him, you lie. You did it so people could say, oh, bahut bahadur admi the. He was a very brave person. He was a great mujahid, great ghazi. You got what you wanted to get. You got your name and fame. You got your reputation. Now go to Jahannam. You have nothing with me. The second person, the qari, will be brought up. He will be resurrected. Allah Ta'ala say, well, what did I give you? What did I grant you? So Allah, you gave me the Quran. What did you do with it? He said, I read it. Ana al-layli wa atraf al-nahar. I read it day and night. I taught the people. You gave me knowledge. And I taught to the people. And I spread this knowledge. Allah Ta'ala will say to him, you lie. You did it so people can say, what a big qari. MashaAllah, what a big mufti. MashaAllah, what a beautiful bayan he's giving. So you got your fame. You got your shuhrat. Now go to Jahannam. You have nothing with me. You did not do it for me. And the third person, the sakhi and the generous person, Allah will say, what did I give you in this life? So Allah, you gave me money. What did you do with the money? So Allah, I spent it in any way that I could. In charity, in zakat, in helping, in for the poor people, for the madaris, for everything. He said, you lie. You did this and you spent that money so people can say, oh mashallah, what a great generous person this is. What a great pious person this is. What a great sakhi person this is. You got what you wanted. You got your shuhrat. You got your reputation. Now you have nothing with me. From this we understand that the greatest of actions, and the ulama hadith, the scholars of hadith mention that in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioning the three greatest of all amal. Generosity. A person spending his wealth. These will be the people under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ. He will be under the arsh of Allah on the day of judgment. But when it is not done out of sincerity, forget the arsh of Allah. He will be in the walls of Jahannam. Such a person, such a maqam, generosity, sakhawat. But that will be not accepted when there is not sincerity. When it is not done for the sake of Allah. A person becoming shaheed. Allah mentions about the shaheed. وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَن يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ. Don't say about the people who die as martyrs that they are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ إِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They're alive with their Lord and Allah is giving them special risk. Highest maqam is the maqam of the shuhada. But when the person is not doing it for the sake of Allah, he has the lowest of maqam. The ulama hadith mentioned that each of these amal is the highest of amal. But when it is not done with ikhlas, it becomes the lowest of the amal. Actually becomes an amal which becomes a cause of your destruction, not a cause of your salvation. And the third is ilm. The ulama-i-deen. Ulama-i-deen have the greatest izzat in this ummah. Who has the greatest izzat? Alhamdulillah, the ulama-i-deen and the huffaz-i-Quran. If those ulama-i-deen and if those qurra and those qaris and reciters of the Quran, those scholars, they do not have sincerity, their izzat will be turned into zillat. Their izzat will become zillat. May Allah save us. Fasting is that institution. And fasting is that amal which develops this sincerity. The one who fasts continuously because it is an action which nobody is aware of. Right now if I'm fasting, nobody will even know. Right now, if anybody here is fasting, I can't tell that there's anybody fasting. There's no sign that you put on your around your neck that I am a fasting person, please don't talk to me. There's no, nobody can tell that you're fasting. This fasting is sirrun bayn al-abdi wa rabbihi. It is a secret between your Lord and between his slave. And it is one of the greatest ways that a person can develop this sincerity. And sincerity is the backbone of all of the actions. And that is why it mentions in one hadith, كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ لَهُ إِلَّا الصَّوْمُ فَإِنَّهُ لِي. Every amal of Banu Adam is for him. Meaning there's a zahiri, something in it for him. People see that this person is praying five times namaz. This person is going for hajj. Haji saave, namazi saave, musalli saave. Right? You can see. إِلَّا الصَّوْمُ, except fasting. فَإِنَّهُ لِي. It is only for me. وَأَنَا أُجِزَى بِهِ. And I myself am the reward of it. Allah Ta'ala Himself says, I am your reward. I am your reward. There's one hadith that Imam Baghawi rahmatullahi alayhi narrates. This hadith has been narrated in Tafsir Madarik al-Tanzeel. And he says that, why is the fasting, the reward, that amal, that it's given most reward? Because they say, fasting is dependent on patience. And patience, Allah rewards it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah Ta'ala rewards the patient people بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. When a person is going through hunger and thirst, nobody knows what he is suffering except the person himself. Only Allah can know what that person is going through. So it mentions إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allama Baghawi rahmatullahi narrates a hadith that on the day of judgment, Allah will erect the scales, mizan. All of your deeds will be weighed. Your zakat is going to be weighed. And it mentions that the zakat of certain people, they will be equal to the mountain of Uhud, based on the sincerity of their giving. Your tahajjud will be weighed. Your namaz will be weighed, based on your sincerity, based on your taqwa, based on your sunnah, based on the mustahabbat, based on the perfection in your salat. It will be weighed. All of the deeds will be weighed. And then what will happen? Allah Ta'ala say, well, take away the scales now. Take away this mizan. Take away the scales. No more tol tarazu. No more weighing. Now, bring those people that suffered for my sake. Bring those people that tolerated patience for my sake. Bring those people that fasted. And they stayed hungry and thirsty for my sake. Because today I will give them bighayri hisab. I will not weigh it. I will give them according to my majesty. I will give them according to my maqam and my status and my jalalat qadr. So this fasting is something which it builds that patience. It builds that sincerity. And that patience and sincerity is actually the basis and the foundation and the backbone of all of our a'mal. And also, Allah Ta'ala mentions شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Another maqsad of this blessed month of Ramadan and of this fasting is that we devote ourselves to the Qur'an. The night of Taraweeh, listening to the Qur'an. And the day of Ramadan, reading the Qur'an. And it is mentioned, وَكَانَ السَّلَفُ كَمَا صَحَّ أَنْهُمْ يَجْلِسُونَ بِمَصَاحِفِهِمْ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ يَتْلُونَ وَيَبْكُونَ وَيَحْفَظُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ وَأَعْيُنَهُمْ عَنِ الْحَرَامِ. That the Salaf al-Salihin, it has been narrated from them that they would open their Qur'ans. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, muhaddith. Imam Malik was one of the greatest muhaddithin. He would close his books of hadith. In the month of Ramadan, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Udar al-Hijra, he would close his books of hadith and his muatta, and he would say, هَذَا شَهْرُ الْقُرْآنِ. This is the month of Qur'an. And he would open his mushaf and he would try to make as many khatams as possible in this blessed month. Because Allah Ta'ala has said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. It is mentioned that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he used to make 61 khatams of the Qur'an in the month of Ramadan. 61 khatams. We should try at least make one khatam. Two khatams. Yeah, we'll just add two. One in Taraweeh and one by ourselves. Taraweeh, that's going to happen anyways. Whoever's Qadi Sahib is, inshallah, through his barakat, we make one khatam. He's doing the reading and we're just listening. And one khatam on our own. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, when he passed away, His son pointed to the corner of the house. He said, "You see that corner?" He said, "My father made 60,000 khatams of the Quran in that corner right there." And in the month of Ramadan, his habit was, now this is just in the month of Ramadan, and who knows what his habit was in the rest of the year. But especially in the month of Ramadan, he would make one khatam in the day, one khatam in the night, and then one khatam to Taraweeh. One khatam in the day, one khatam in the night. That makes two a day. 2 times 30 is 60, and one during Taraweeh, 61. His habit was 61 Qur'ans in the month of Ramadan. May Allah give us that tawfiq. So another one of the maqasid of sawm is trying to devote ourselves to the Quran. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month of Ramadan is the month that Allah revealed the Quran. And also, a sawm, one of the maqasid is كَفَّارَةٌ لِلْخَطَايَا وَمُذْهِبٌ لِلْسَيِّئَاتِ. It is a kafara for our sins, an atonement for our sins. As it comes in one hadith in Sahih Muslim. As-salawatul khams, wal-jumu'atu ila al-jumu'ah, wa ramadan ila ramadan, mukaffiratun lima baynahunna idha ijtunibatil kabair. That, the five daily prayers. And one jumu'ah to another jumu'ah. And one ramadan to another ramadan. Is kafara and atonement for the sins of the entire year. So from five daily prayers, Allah has a daily recycling system. Five times a day, you're getting recycled. Iman is getting rejuvenated. Iman is getting renewed. Five times a day. So you have a daily dry cleaners. Right? Daily wash, five times a day. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if a person washes himself in this river five times a day, do you see anything of dirt left on his body? They would say, "Ya Rasulullah, we would not see any dirt left on his body." He said, this is the example of the one who prays his five daily prayers. Allah doesn't leave any gunah left on him. Five daily prayers. This is daily. And then, wal jumu'atu ila al-jumu'ah. One jumu'ah to another jumu'ah. Weekly washing. Wa ramadan ila ramadan. Then yearly washing. مُكَفِّرَاتٌ لِمَا بَيْنَهُنَّ. It is an atonement for all of the sins that is committed. إِذَا اجْتُنِبَتِ الْكَبَائِرِ. On the condition that he stays away from the gunai kabira, major sins, such as zina, such as drinking wine. May Allah Ta'ala save all Muslims. Such as qatl. Because for these things, a person must make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. A person must make i'tiraf and verbal tawbah and try to atone for that if it is the haq of another Muslim or of another human being. Also, وَالصِّيَامُ صِحَّةٌ لِلْجِسْمِ. The siyam and the fasting is a purification and causes and brings about health for the body. As is mentioned in one da'if hadith, Izzuddin ibn Abdul Salam brings this hadith in his Maqasid al-Sawm. سُومُ تَصِحُّ. سُومُ تَصِحُّ. And it is a hadith which he has narrated. And he says that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that if you fast, it will give you sihat. And many a times that we've seen, and even medical research has been done, that certain doctors are even telling certain people that to fast and to lessen our caloric intake, it is very beneficial for the self. And one Latifa, I wanted to tell you. Latifa, and this is because it's very ajeeb, a very interesting point. The Surgeon General was giving his annual report. Everybody knows the Surgeon General. Surgeon General is the head of all the doctors. Ra'is al-Dakatira, right? Chief of Staff. Ra'is al-Dakatira. Ra'is al-Atibba. And this is, I'm not lying. This is a real thing that happened. Very, very interesting. Everybody should listen to this. So the whole media was there. CNN was there. NBC was there. New York Times. And yeah, you just name it. Everybody was there. So they wanted a statement from the Surgeon General. And the question was, what is the biggest threat facing the United States of America at this point in time? And why they asked the Surgeon General? Because the Surgeon General, he is aware of not only the medical, but he is aware of all of the political situation and all of that. So, you know what the Surgeon General said? He said, I know that you want me to say that the biggest threat to the United States of America is terrorism. Or the biggest threat to the United States of America is outside threats from people that don't like our way of life, and so on, as we hear in the media. I know you want that. But I'll tell you, what is the biggest threat? What is the biggest threat to the United States of America at this day and age and in this time right now as we speak? Obesity. Overweight. 40%. Over 40% now. And the scale is tipping to the side of majority. 50% where it's going to be, start becoming majority. That a majority, right now it's basically almost half-half of this country is obese. Obese, yani overweight to dangerous levels. Obesity is a dangerous level of overweight to the level of israf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Eat and drink and do not waste. The biggest mukhalifat of the sunnah is this obesity. Why? Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that what is the way of eating? If a person eats in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll never become obese. He'll never get heart problems. He'll never get physical problems. He'll never get heart disease or any of these things. Otherwise, if it's genetic or he has some family background, that's a different issue. But if a person follows the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his diet and in his way of life, he will never get these physical illnesses. And what is that? One third food. One third of the belly food. And one third drink. And one third for breathing. And what do? We do three thirds food and then we think about the rest after that. Khub tight karo isko. Just make it nice and tight. And then we'll think about the other thirds later. Which for which stomach? For the third and fourth stomach? And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Al-mu'minu ya'kulu min ma'in wahid. A believer, he eats from one stomach. And a disbeliever, wal-munafiqu ya'kulu min sab'ati am'a. And a disbeliever or a munafiq, he eats from seven bellies. And some of the ulama mentioned that when you eat from one belly, your whole point is to one third, one third, one third. But when you're filling up one full stomach, now it's as if you have three, four, five, six other stomachs to fill up. Because we have time for food, and then there's a separate stomach for the dessert, and then the third stomach for this, and then the fourth stomach for this, and then the sixth stomach for whatever else is coming. And the subhanAllah, the ajib sifat and the quality of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was is that you would not find two colors of food on the dastarkhan of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, why am I mentioning this? Not so that we try to imitate that, because we cannot possibly imitate, but at least we should make shukr for what Allah Ta'ala has given us, and not make shukri, and not waste, because the month of Ramadan also for us becomes a month of waste. So much israf takes place, especially in the iftar parties. They have these iftar parties, which I just don't understand. I just don't, iftar party at this house, iftar party at that house. And then whole time is gupshup, and in a time of eating, you're eating food, and then no time for making salatul awwabin, no time for making dua, just the whole time is in gupshup, just different people's houses. This is a new trend. Forget iftar party, I've heard of suhoor party at Denny's. Denny's mein sab jama. At the restaurant, suhoor time. Yeah, buffet, all you can eat, filling up 3-4 plates and then eating a little bit, and then the rest goes in the stomach of the garbage. Not in the stomach of you, the stomach of garbage. The garbage, I think, is eating more than we are eating. This is not that month. These are the things that we need to be aware of during this month of fasting. So one more we'll do. Many, many maqasid is mentioned from Sihhatul Jism. He says, إِنَّ الصَّائِمِ فِي الصَّوْمِ سِرٌ عَظِيمٌ وَهُوَ امْتِثَالُ عُبُودِيَّةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. It is the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum Al-Ali, he mentioned in his bayan, he said that the purpose of fasting is that right when the time of Iftar comes, you should quickly make iftar. أَحَبُّ الْعِبَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَعْجَلُهُمْ فِطْرًا. As is mentioned in one hadith, أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the most beloved servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones that hasten to make the iftar. Because automatically we think that I'm fasting, so let me just extend a little bit. Let me just add a little bit, because roza is sawab, right? So now I should just, at the time of iftar, now I could just add another 2-3 minutes and I get more sawab. No. You don't get sawab, you get guna. As soon as the sun set, as soon as sunset comes, and you know, and the muazzin says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you should immediately eat. To such an extent that it's mentioned that the muazzin, in the kutub of fiqh, it's mentioned that the muazzin, when he knows that the sun sets, he should eat something and then give the azan. He should eat something, and then after he has eaten, then he should give the azan, because to delay the iftar is makruh. Even 1 second we should not delay. Why? What is the purpose of this? Why should we not just delay a little bit more so we get more ajr? Because the purpose of fasting is not staying hungry and thirsty. The purpose of fasting is imtithal wa amrillahi azza wa jal, is the obedience of the command of Allah Ta'ala. That when Allah Ta'ala said stop eating, we stop eating. When Allah Ta'ala says start eating, we start eating. We don't add a second and we don't subtract a second from the command of Allah Ta'ala. So this fasting engenders within us the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. To such an extent, mentioned that Maulana Yahya Sahib, or I think it was Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah alayh, when he would want to give the azan for doing the iftar. Why? Because other people would give short azan. And when they give short azan, then people are eating quickly. And what happens? Then they're getting hasty for praying Maghrib namaz. So Hazrat Gangohi, look at the faqahat. What he would do when he would see the sun set, he would take some grass while going to give the, he would chew on some grass to break his fast. Because he didn't have any food with him. So on the way, he just pick up some grass, chew on that. And after that, he would give the azan and he would pull the azan as much as possible. So that the people would have time to eat, and at the same time, the Maghrib namaz would not be delayed. Look at the faqahat of our akabir. Look at their amal and their ma'muls and their way of thinking. I mean, when I thought about that, he said he would just take something and put it in his mouth and chew it so that he would break his fast, so he would not be delayed the command of Allah. That the beloved servants of Allah are the ones who are more hasty in making the iftar. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also mentioned that لَا يَزَالُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى خَيْرٍ مَا أَجَّلُ الْفِطْرِ مَا دَامُ مَا أَجَّلُ الْفِطْرِ, that my ummah will continuously be upon khair and barakah and goodness as long as they are hastening the iftar. Because why are they on khair? Because they are showing that we are making imtithal, we are being obedient to your command, we are not making something up from our own. When Allah Ta'ala says stop eating, we stop eating. When Allah Ta'ala says start eating, we start eating, and we don't add anything from ourselves. So this blessed month of Ramadan also becomes a way of engendering the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding. May Allah make these maqasid and these objectives our objectives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make his objective that he has mentioned in the Quran. May Allah make that our objective. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursalin, walhamdulillah.